Well, hello, everyone, and welcome to another episode of Legal Ethics in a New York Minute, where we share tips to stay on track and traps to avoid. I'm your host, Kaylin Whittingham. Well, today's topic is on communication. Communicating with your clients, with the courts, with your adversary, co-counsel, just all parties involved, as well as internal communication with your staff. It may seem very simple, but it is essential to communicate with all parties involved to minimize that risk of a grievance complaint. Many a grievance complaint are started because attorneys fail to communicate with their clients. You don't want to be one of those individuals who your simple failure to return a phone call or an email or a text message or to memorialize something results in a disciplinary complaint being filed against you. When it comes to communication, I like to say there are three things that you must do. One, communicate clearly. Two, communicate frequently. And three, communicate in writing. And the reason why I say in writing, I like to say put it in writing, it will protect you. Not all communication will be in writing, but there's some communication which, by the rules, must be in writing. And there are others that it's just good practice to do so. So put it in writing, it will protect you. Attorneys are the bearers of both good and bad news. And you have to make sure that, especially when you're communicating with your clients, that you're being clear. You are not using legalese. You are using words and terms that they understand. If there is an issue, state clearly what the issue is. State clearly what it is that you recommend. Also, tell the client why you are recommending a certain course of action over another. And in addition to that, what are the next steps? What is it that the client must do next or that you need to do next with the client's consent? Make sure that those things are very clear to the client, because at times, if those things are not clear, it leads to confusion. And if there's confusion, it leads to misunderstanding. And that is the reason why so many complaints are started because of a lack of communication or a failure to communicate clearly. So ensure you're communicating clearly with your clients. Communicate frequently with your clients as well. We don't have the time to respond to every call, every text, every email. However, we need to still have a certain system or certain structure in our practice that deals with responding to clients. There are some things that we'll have to respond to immediately. There are others that we may not have to respond to immediately. But whatever we do, we have to remember to respond. And frequent communication with the client ensure that the client knows what's happening in his or her case. And usually when the client knows what's happening, they're less concerned. They're not worried that their case may be at the back of the pile. They're not alleging that you have not done anything on their matter. They're not alleging that you are not responding to their requests for information. Under the rules, we need to keep our clients reasonably informed about the status of their matter. We need to keep them up to date if there are any material developments in their cases, and we need to respond to their requests for information. Those are three essential things that we must do that are required by the rules, and we need to take that seriously. Communicate with your client frequently. I promise you, it will minimize the risk of a grievance complaint. And as I said earlier, put things in writing. Not everything needs to go in writing. Some clients will prefer to communicate by email. Others will prefer a phone call. And yet what we've been seeing, a lot of us in our practices, our clients are texting us. You know, it's no longer just the phone or email or snail mail. They're doing a lot of text messages. We are going to adjust and adapt to those. Nonetheless, there are still things that even if you communicate it verbally, you will need to put it in writing. Always remember that under New York rules, many things that require informed consent, it requires that it be in a writing and signed. So not everything, but most things do. So as a practice, just develop that general practice to have anything that requires the client consent to be in writing and signed by the client. I think that's just a good practice to do. We also know not every engagement requires a retainer, but some engagements require the retainer. All engagements over $3,000 require that retainer. There are a few exceptions if you have done similar work for the clients in the past. But I like to say, err on the side of caution. Use a retainer as often as possible. There are still a lot of attorneys going to court and asking for fees, but they don't have a retainer. It will really protect you. And it's required by the rules in some instances. And if you don't have it, you may not get your fee. You may not be able to get your fees. If you do, it will probably only be on a quantum merit basis. So again, those are things that you want to put in writing. Other times, you've had a conversation with the client. It doesn't require informed consent. It's not something that must be in writing. But if you believe that there's any chance that there could be a misunderstanding, what I am going to say is memorialize it. Memorialize it so that there can be no confusion, no he said, she said later on. That is essential for you to do. Again, you may not be required to put it in writing, but it might be a good idea for you to memorialize what was discussed with the client. So those are three things that I think are very important when it comes to communication: clear communication, frequent communication, and communication in writing. And I believe if you make that a part of your practice, that's a part of the systems that you have in place for your practice, it's going to serve you well, both externally when you're communicating to clients, the court, adversaries, as well as when you're communicating internally to your staff. So there are no misunderstandings. Now, that's it for today. If you found this helpful or useful, please subscribe, share, like, and comment below. And until next time, I'm your host, Kaylin Whittingham.